So this is the online ministry series of how to actually minister online, and there's a huge difference between that and in-person ministry. Obviously, you're not there in person, but what a person will be looking for and what they'll need online is very different than someone you might say you'd meet in the street, or you'd be, or maybe even a neighbor. Someone, it can be somebody you know in person. It's a totally different approach. And I mean, Holy Spirit teaches us how to do both. It's not as if, we're segmented in one place or the other. But probably one of the major differences in online ministry is the person is actively seeking you. They're not, it's not a stranger that you happen to meet in the bakery that you're, you know, approaching and wanting to do. You're wanting to pray for them or help them or whatever, or minister in some way. It's somebody who's actually usually seeking you out. I mean, you're not going to be seeking people out to minister. It's somebody who's made a call out there, kind of like someone in the picture I get is someone in the water with their hands waving like I'm drowning. You know, they usually have fairly serious problems. And that's the other thing. The level of problems are going to be different as well. Okay. And often when you're doing online ministry, often is probably not the best word for it, but frequently, which is really often, but say like this, probably 50-50, you might get people that first time you minister with them, you don't see them completely healed, okay? And they return. And knowing how to deal with the return is a really important thing as well. This is like an introduction of the differences in online and in person. Because, you know, in person, if you're just going to the supermarket or something, you're probably never going to see that person again. It's unlikely unless you give them some kind of contact details and they make contact with you. But online, often they've been to many people. That's the other thing you have to deal with. Okay, so they may be very discouraged. They may have heard all kinds of different methods and healing approaches. They might have their head very jumbled and be wanting... not even necessarily even ready to truly be healed because they're not even sure it can happen. So they've been through the ropes, so to speak. And they may be very desperate as well. Okay. So, and I know some of you already do online ministry, so I'm not saying that you're not aware of these things. And the protocol is always go to Holy Spirit. So, when you start, I mean, this is one way I start, and I'm not saying you have to start this way, but when I start with a new person that sought me out, I always just first pray in tongues with them. Now, it doesn't mean they pray in tongues with me, though they can if they want, but I make sure Holy Spirit's leading it. If I'm doing it in tongues, I'm not trying to figure it out. Now, they'll give me their information. That's one of the things they do. They'll give you their information. I've been sick for 7 years. This is what the doctors say. I've had this one pray for me, that one pray for me. We're just going to give a scenario. This is fairly similar in many cases. And I need help and I don't know how to do this anymore. Okay. And they're Christians. That's the other thing. When you're out in the marketplace, so to speak, if you pray for people out there, they're not always Christians. Okay. Here, they're Christians. And they have a lot of beliefs, not just about healing, but about who they are and whether they are allowed to receive this. And, is God teaching me something? Not like that. Because most of them that will come to you already believe healing's for them or healing is real. At least, but they won't always think that they can have that. And what I found when you do online ministry, whether it's on a chat or whether they're calling you on Skype, interestingly enough, if you're doing it on a chat where you're just typing, in some ways that can be an easier way of ministering because you don't have all the nuances of their facial expressions. They're not looking to you. In some ways, they don't look to you as much for the help in that personal pastoral way. You very often, you're going to be in a position of pastoral caring because they're wounded. And I found that when you do it in a chat capacity where it's simply typing or you're on a Skype type, like say they don't have audio or they don't have visual, that then you can, you can address it, you have less complications. It's amazing. When I first did it with just either Skype type or through a chat, I first thought, oh, I don't like this at all, because I like to have the one-on-one face-to-face. But later I realized there was less entanglement with the person, and the job got done quicker. It was amazing. So I'm not saying choose one or the other. It's whatever is available with you, between you and that person. But it is interesting to notice that without the face-to-face, because you don't get caught up emotionally. And the tendency probably is to, for women, those of us that are women, the tendency of the compassion and the emotional wanting to help them seems to get so stirred that when you're looking at somebody face-to-face, it's almost harder to be detached enough to just say, okay, we need to get rid of this thing and we need this person free. You get less like that because you feel it's almost that mommy aspect. And most of us here, I think, well, all of us are mommies that are women here. So we all know what that's like. So a big part of it is being able to hear him at the same time. And all of you are all already, open to Holy Spirit, you're already aware of the dynamics with him, and you're learning his voice really well, that you're going to be able to hear him as you minister. And the amazing thing about Holy Spirit is that he's an on-the-job trainer. He will teach you as you go. So you're not going to know, oh, how do I deal with this thing? That's what he does, doesn't he? So instead of having to figure it out beforehand, oh, how do you deal with this disease, or what do you do here? That's not how it works, because he's a living God. And he lives in you. He's going to tell you there. And he lives in them. And he knows them inside and out. He knows. So I've had many times where the person comes, and this will happen with you as well. They'll come to you with a particular illness, usually a physical illness. Sometimes it might be a mental illness, but often it's more often than not physical. And they think that's the problem. And Holy Spirit will be telling you, no. They've got a wound. Like a soul damage, and nothing's going to get in until that's healed. So he will focus on that first. And it isn't take long. It is not a long, drawn out, inner healing, quote unquote, scenario. It's very short and sweet. He shows you something, or you might just get a sense. You might hear, or feel. You end up feeling like something's wrong. How come this person isn't responding? Where are they? Or you will sometimes feel what they feel. Okay? So sometimes you will actually get a sense of what it is they're experiencing. I often, one of the ones that is so common for me, and I'm not saying everyone will have it this way, you'll have other things. The Holy Spirit deals with each of us differently. But I'll know when there's depression immediately. I'll have a pressure behind the back of my eyes. It feels like I want to cry, but I know it's not my tears. And I immediately know they've had a history of depression. And I will ask them. I always confirm it. I don't just go, you have depression. We're not dictating to people. We're engaging them so they feel safe enough to be healed. Because often they haven't been. They've been told what they are. They've been told, they've been blamed for what they've got. And they feel worthless. So we want to treat them with care. Okay. Now there are some people that on the opposite side, there are some people that will think you owe it to them. Okay, and it'll be like hands on hips, well, you better get this done if you really know what you're doing. And those, you're going to have to, I'm serious, those you're going to have to be straight. How I deal with that is I'm very firm, because I stop that immediately. It's like, no, you're not approaching it this way. This is a gift from God. He's using me to flow in him so you can have it, but it's not about you better. Meaning me, I better, because that gets in the way of the healing as well. So they can be so self-effacing they don't think they deserve anything, they think they're a worm, or they can be so arrogant that they think you better get it done, and they're tapping their toe like, come on. And we don't want either one. Both of those get in the way of Holy Spirit freely flowing and them receiving him. Not his flow. They don't stop his flow, but receiving. And that's what you'll find. You'll find yourself flowing so amazingly in Holy Spirit. You'll feel him pouring out of you. And they're going, nothing's happening. Now, don't be discouraged. That doesn't mean it's not really happening. It means they're not receiving. That's when you go to Holy Spirit That's why the chat healing is so good, because they can't hear what you're doing, or no one's facial expressions being shown. You can just pray in Holy Ghost and ask him what the heck's going on, or you might even sense already. Okay. Now, if you're not in a chat situation and it's a Skype and you have face to face, or you have at least audio, you can just tell them something's Holy Spirit's showing me something. Let me pray in tongues, and he's going to reveal it to us. Okay, so you always keep them involved. Okay, where they're not specimens, and they're not like a doctor, not in the doctor's office. Okay, this is my patient. We look at them as the part of the body. They're a member of the body, and we're one with them. Some people we don't want to be one with, but it's still the truth. We are one spirit with them, and we're one body. So, but probably one of the things I want to emphasize the most is that he will teach you as you go. And he will show you things. I can see it. I can feel it from every single one of you on this thing. I'm just looking at your little pictures, even when you got the pictures with the question marks, I can, sense, like we can sense each other, through the spirit. Each one of you is going to have such amazing gifts that are different than mine, that when you minister to people, they are going to benefit from the gifts that Holy Spirit has planted in you. So be assured of that. You need to know that. And he will develop and blossom that gift as you go, as you minister to people online. He will teach you. You will learn so much through online ministry. I can't even begin to tell you about him, about yourself, and about others. It is a journey and a half. People think that online, I know some people think online is less of a ministry than being in person, because they think it's more of a hero to run out and talk to every stranger they see. But it isn't. It's such a responsibility. These people count on you. And we want to be accountable. So it's not that every time it doesn't happen, it's always them. We're not interested in attributing fault or blame or anything like that. We want to find out what's blocking it, and if it sometimes it can be us, but more often than not, I'd say about 95% of the time, it's actually the other person. Once in a while, we may be off. Or we may even have an issue with the person and not be aware of it, but something about them, we're just, our hearts aren't open either. It's really important what I find. If I'm really tired, I just do not flow in him. And I used to argue with him about that, because I said, well, you're the power of God. You're Holy Spirit. I mean, like, come on, you're omnipotent. What difference does it make? He said, it does make a difference. We're one. So if you're really tired, it is going to affect how you minister, whether it's in person or online. Okay. So that's something to just be aware of, so that if you're going to be, setting up a time. So often with online, you have set up times, and people will call me in advance, a week in advance, or 2 weeks, or a few days, or sometimes a few hours in advance, and want to set a time. Okay, so that way, I don't really prepare per se, and pray about it for hours at a time or anything like that. I just know that's when I'm going to be have to be there. I trust Holy Spirit enough that I know he's going to flow when I'm there. So that's an important thing too. We don't, unless he tells you, there are times that some people will be on your heart or on your mind that that you're already ministering to, or you're going to minister to, and you will find yourself asking him questions about it. But it doesn't happen very often. Okay, it's not like you're doing constant intercession for them. You can. I used to have a prayer board. I would write it, we'd have 15, 20 people that we would pray for every day, let alone the people I had online as well. And we did it through tongues. We just went in tongues and went at it. And some people really seem to respond to that. So there's a lot of options. It isn't, we don't just do it one way, okay? It's not just Jesse's way. It's Holy Spirit's way. And he'll change it for you over time. There'll be a time, I mean, prayer board was so integral in what we did, and now I don't even have it. I don't have time for it. But it used to be that every night we would all pray as a family, my son, my husband, and I, over people. in tongues. And we would know, we would ask Holy Spirit, but it is, it was a great learning method as well. We would ask Holy Spirit, what it was, you know, if there was anything that, that we needed to know, because some of these people we weren't having contact with. Some of these people were someone that someone else referred them to us. So we just put them on the board. We prayed about their issue. And then we would ask Holy Spirit to illuminate the mind of Christ in us. What was going on with this person? Were they still alive? Were they at a hospital? Was their disease gone? That's how we did it. And he would give us pictures. He would confirm it with my husband and I. It's, he's amazing. You know, he's so, when we, the more you do, people think healing, doing healing, you know, oh, you're so giving, you're so kind. You, they have no idea how much you get out of it. We benefit so much from it. We get to lean on Holy Spirit. We get to learn what he's like. And we, our relationship develops in that area as well. Then it's not just the personal relationship for us, him and us, which I think is the best way to start it. I didn't start it that way. I started the other way. I started my relationship with him for them. And then he told, then I realized I needed to really know him personally, between him and me in relationship. So that's a, that's just, you know, that's just another aspect of how much you'll grow. I mean, you get you the benefit, you know how it says it's better to give than receive. It is so true. You gain so much from this. The blessings that you get from ministering to people is incredible. And I know some of you already do that, so you're well aware that that's the case. Okay. With the idea that some people appear really open and soft even to God and really want to be healed, and then nothing happens. And then there's others that are perhaps aggressive about it, like I mentioned before, or, you know, stamping their feet, like, come on, let's get this done, and they do get healed. Or they can be like that and not get healed. This is where Holy Spirit takes over. I mean, it's all him anyway, because we can't do any of this without him. But in terms of understanding what's happening is you go to him. I've had people that were so stuck, okay, that there was no movement at all. But when I again yield to him, we're always yielding to him. When I yield to him and seek his counsel on whatever it is, I will find out what's behind it. He shows you behind the scenes. Okay. So it's, we don't have to worry about faith or not faith or, you know, even our own. Okay. I mean, obviously we have enough faith to be doing this. Okay, and if we are lacking faith, this is what I love about him, like, you know, we've said many times with that other group, if we're lacking in that faith, say somebody calls us and they have this really horrendous disease, say they contact you and they have this really bizarre disease and you just can't, you know, there's no movement whatsoever. I've had cases like that. And there is, you know, the bottom line, we don't like this one because I know there are other teachings that don't, this would be totally against what they say, but I've done this enough and I've seen it enough and I know how he works and I know how people are, that there are times that some people will absolutely refuse. See, you cannot overwhelm, you can't take over their will. Even God doesn't do that. So if God doesn't do that, how am I going to do that? And if someone's will, if they refuse to actually receive it. Even if they might give you lip service, they might be saying, I want this, I want this, I want this. But underneath it, I've had people where Holy Spirit will show me, they don't believe it's ever going to happen and they're actually shut down. And they will admit it, that that's true. And I'll say, well, then we're not, this isn't, it's never a condemnation, never. Then we go to the next place and we say, okay, if you don't believe this can happen and you're actually thinking God's never going to do it and that's how you're coming, you know, that's not how they came to Jesus. They didn't come to Jesus going, oh, I don't think you can ever do this. They came to him because they knew he could. Even if they didn't know how it was ever going to happen, and even if sometimes they didn't even know who he was, like the man at the pool of Bethesda. Okay, he didn't know. But he obviously wanted it because he was stuck there with that silly pool for 38 years. You know, he was waiting. But there's some people that will say, I want this, but underneath it, they're really not. Okay, they're shut down, and there's no judgment on it. What we do then is like, let's get you free to actually receive from him. That's just like we do with ourselves, okay? When we know we've got a block somewhere, we don't beat ourselves up and go, oh, what's wrong with me? I should trust Jesus. We go, okay, Holy Spirit, help me to trust. Give me trust here because I don't have it. Give me faith in this area. And we do the same for them, just as loving. Okay, Holy Spirit, you talk to the person, you say, we're going to ask him to move that mountain so that you can receive what he wants to give you. We do it with tenderness, mostly. I mean, the funny thing is, you don't always do it tenderly. There are some people that are going to, you know, slam back at you, push back at you, and then you're not tender. But he'll tell you what to do. And as I said, you learn as you go, and it's not like you never make a mistake. We do. We make mistakes. But, you know, his grace is sufficient. I've made many mistakes, and people still get healed and receive. You know, see, the other thing is, I really want to make this clear. This is not just about healing, guys, in terms of getting them physically well. He's always made it clear to me, and I will pass it on to you. He said, don't just give them a healing, give them me. That's what he wants people to have. It's not good enough just to, okay, now they don't have arthritis, but, you know, they have no relationship with God that's healthy. They don't, you know, they're miserable in their lives. They have a horrible marriage. That's not what we want. Oh, great, I get to tick it off. This is not a tick box where I check off that I did all my things. Oh, good, look, now I've got a testimony. We don't want that. It's so common. It's not about our testimony, and it's not about us looking good. It's about people being set free. We want to be fully engaged in this, and we want them to be fully engaged in the love of the Father. We do this because of the Father's heart, okay, towards them and towards us. And Holy Spirit is the one who leads and guides and infuses it with the power to give it so we can do it. You know, it's not about us, how good am I about in doing healing. And so the whole our relationship with God is paramount. Because if we have a dullified or superficial relationship with him, we're not going to be able to minister to these people properly. Leslie, you're moving things around a lot, and it keeps getting recorded. Can you stop that? I just don't know what that is, but every time I can hear this big movement, and it goes on the recording. I don't know.
Oh, okay, honey.
Okay, sorry. It's very sensitive. Okay, it's very sensitive, that's all.
Okay, honey, I didn't know.
That's okay.
Yeah.
All right. Leslie's so cute. I love her. So, just to regroup, because I had that on pause, the idea is that you let him lead you in this, and you ask him how he wants to run it, and then you let him run it, because otherwise you'll get lost, and it becomes about you again, and it becomes about proving yourself, and we don't want any of that. That's one of the biggest pitfalls of ministry, whether it's online or not, is wanting to look good and wanting to see yourself as a quote-unquote success. I'm already a success. Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. I'm successful. That's it. That's your success. That's your triumph. Okay. This now is living life in fullness with God. That's what we're on about now. We're past the cross. We don't have to prove anything anymore. He did all that. You know, that's why this is such an amazing experience to pray for others. It will teach you things like that, because you're in the midst of it all. You know, you're not just on the sidelines watching other people go through their difficulties or troubles. You're in the middle of it with them. And it's exciting. It really is exciting. It gets tiring if you overdo it. I've certainly done that. But if you don't, and you already know you are completely held in the Father's heart, you're one with him. Well, what have you, you know, there's nothing to lose, is there? I'm already completely accepted. So now, what are we going to do today, Daddy? That's our attitude, because we don't have to prove anything. That's where we want to be. We want to approach this from that place. And then we're free, and we're able to transfer, so to speak, or impart, let's put it that way, impart that freedom to the people we're ministering to. Because they're going to see you and go, how come you're so free? How come you're so happy with God? How come, and you still have problems? I don't understand. You're going to be a witness in that way as well. It's not just about healing. It's about who you are in Christ, and not the identity, this is my authority, I get to do that. No, about your value in him. your intrinsic value because of Jesus. That, and they're going to see that as a witness. When whether they ever see your face or not, whether it's a Skype one-to-one or it's just a chat healing or whatever it is, whatever kind of online medium you're using, they're going to know that. People will start to seek you out because of your relationship with God. That's when you know you're triumphing. That is so exciting. Because they're not just coming to you, give me healed, give me healed. It's not like that. It's like, how come you have that kind of relationship? I had people starting to come to me at that, and I'm like, what? And the other thing that you're going to get, it's going to be almost incomprehensible what people get through you or from you, because it's all Him. You won't understand. I told Holy Spirit the other day, I said, I don't understand how I'm affecting people. It's just like I'm on this little cloud and you're just pulling me wherever you want to go. I don't get it. I love it, but I don't get it. I don't look at it like this is me and look at how amazing I am. I look at it like, what? Like every time somebody says something that refers to how they're touched by whatever it is that I've done or how they've learned or how they're drawing closer to Holy Spirit or whatever, my jaw drops. Yeah, I'm still in shock. And we want to be in that place. Okay, we want to be in that kind of place that we're in awe too. That not that we get so, you know, mechanical about it, that it's like, well, this is just my job, this is what I do. No! How in the world can the living, how is it that I can pray for somebody in Africa who has malaria and in 2 minutes it's completely removed? And that means their cells have changed. That means the blood has changed in 2 minutes. Now, come on, I did that. That is, I mean, I just sat there crying. You know, it was like, okay, wow, that was different. You know, and that's what you learn. He'll take you places you never expected to go. And I don't mean just around the world, though you'll have that. But I mean in terms of interior places in you that you didn't know existed. And you'll be so much happier because your life is not about you. That is one. I would say that is probably the greatest benefit of ministry is your life is no longer about you. And boy, is that fun. You know, because when it's about you, it's in your face all the time. You're annoyed. You're tired. You know, you're disappointed. It's all about you. It's all about you. Well, it's not like that anymore. The gift of ministry, people don't realize it. The gift of ministry is you. While you minister to others, your heart changes. He transforms your heart. Because that's what he's really after. Yeah, that's what Jesus was sent for, wasn't it? Okay, I'm just pausing it, darling. So if you need to talk to me.
No, I don't need to talk to you.
Oh, give me a kiss then. I mean, this is a pause, kiss pausing.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, now I've paused it, but so are there any questions? About any of this? That anybody has?
Jesse, I had a question.
Yeah, go.
Yeah, I do. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I typed it, but...
Oh, where'd it go? Okay, hang on.
I just wondered if you were praying for something. Can I hit send?
Oh, I got it. I got it now.
It doesn't go when I type.
No, I got it. I got it. Hang on. I got to read it. Yeah, let me just read the whole thing. Okay, I'll just, you guys can all read it too. I'll just read it out loud. What if you don't feel or hear an answer from Holy Spirit? Can we refer them to someone else? What if after praying and asking Holy Spirit and you don't quite know how to pray for this person, can we refer them to someone else and just be honest with them? What if you have prayed and asked Holy Spirit and you don't get anything? Okay, it's the same one. Okay. All right. It's the same one three times. I got it. Okay. All right. Okay. I'll unpause it. I have no idea what I'm going to say to that, Gwen. So let's just see what Holy Spirit wants to say. Again. Okay. So the question was, what if after praying and asking Holy Spirit, you don't quite know how to pray for the person? Can you refer them to someone else and just be honest with them? I would suggest, and this is not a rule, this is a suggestion, that if it's the first time you've prayed with them, I would suggest no, don't refer them to someone else. If it's becoming a blockage between you and them, it's fine to refer them. you've got to realize too, you're learning as you go. So when you first start, you're not going to have as much discernment and as much clarity, as much flow in Holy Spirit as you will down the line. Okay, so it will change. So I would suggest, if you've just prayed for them once and you haven't seen anything, you know, anything manifest, or they call you, would say, a week later or something, and they're still ill or the problem is still there, that you can then, in between that time, this is what I would suggest. You pray for them and nothing happens at that moment, okay? They contact you a week later and say, look, I'm still sick. Then you go to someone else, you yourself, contact someone else that you know does this well, and talk it over with them and pray with them. So you get some insight, okay, between you and them and Holy Spirit. And then go back to them with that clarity. And if you're still, you know, if you're still pushing, because there are times when you just cannot get through. And that often usually is the other person. They're blocked, okay, and they refuse. I've had people who, you know, you pray for 8, 10, 12 times, and they actually, you know, a relative might have called on their behalf. They really don't want it. And you cannot override that. No matter what someone says, you cannot override it. I'll cry if he does. Okay, my husband's hitting my son, but I just want them to be quiet. So I've told my son not to cry if it happens. Okay, all right, be silent about it. All right, we're going to go back to it. Now, stop it. See, he's so handsome. He gets away with all kinds of things, my husband. Anyway. I do hit him a lot, though, because he just needs it. So anyway, he's Australian. Australian men have no idea. They missed the whole 70s, you know? So they just jumped through the 90s or something. Okay. Anyway. I'm still giving him lessons. Okay. So he's a really bad student.
My idea of fashion is a still cap pair of boots and a Cobra hat.
Yeah. I don't care about the fashion. I'm talking about human relationships, men and women, darling.
You're supposed to relate?
That's kind of how it is in Australia, guys. This is just an aside, because this is how life is. In Australia, you go to a party. All the men are on one side. All the women are on another side. That's how it works. They all segment themselves. They all segregate it. Still. I mean, it's what, 2011. It's still the way it is. It might as well be 1952. Yeah. But anyway.
You don't put sheep in the same paddock as cows, right?
Okay. Apparently it's the sheep and cows problem, you know? Which one are we, the cows? You're the rams, so.
I'm not saying anything.
Oh, yeah, you better watch yourself. Okay.
He's going to be
incriminating. See, he's got this gorgeous smile, and it makes me give in. No. That's the problem. Anyway. He's very handsome. Even other women will say, oh, he's so handsome. I'm like, get your hands off. You know, but anyway. Okay, that's just another aside. We're working on that. Okay, are you done making me laugh, darling?
We want me to make you cry now?
No, you do that enough. It's okay.
Don't get me started.
Okay. All right. He's going to behave himself now.
I'm going to get water.
Oh, hallelujah. Okay. So. Okay, guys. Okay. Now, this is off camera. This is on camera. Oh, off audio. This is on audio. Okay. We're going back to, what the heck was I saying? About getting other people's help. Okay. Okay, let's go back to getting help. Okay. He's wiggling his rear end. I had to pause it again. No, stop it. Okay, sorry. He does this dance. You just don't want to know. Anyway. Okay. I'm good now. Are you going out the door? Please go out the door. He wants to kiss me again.
I need my keys first.
My keys or your keys?
Okay.
Okay. Okay. All right. Bye, darling. Okay, he's actually going out the door, so I'm waiting. Okay, door's shut. Now we're good. Okay, here we go. Okay, there's nothing wrong with seeking other people's assistance in this. All right, you can do that. If you have a situation where the person, you know, we're not worried about whether it happens instantly or not, okay? You know, of course, you know, that's our desire, that it's always that way. Sometimes it doesn't occur like that. So if they are, you can tell them, you can say, all right, you know, keep me updated. Let me know what's happened in the next few days. Now, some people will be embarrassed and will not do that with you. So you can write them down on the list if you haven't heard from them within a few days and check and see how they are. Okay. If you have a really busy schedule, you're not going to do that. It's going to be too hard. And you're going to have to rely on them seeking you out again. Okay, like I'm so busy, I cannot seek people out. But if you're in a place where, you know, you're only doing maybe a couple a day or three people a day or something like that, you can keep track. It's easier to do it. And in that time, if they come back to you and they say, oh, look, I'm still sick, nothing's happened, and they're all upset, you say, okay, let me set another time with you. And I'll, you know, we'll pray again. And in the meantime, you can go to someone that you trust and someone that you've seen that not just they get results, I hate that idea, but that you've seen how they minister, you understand how they minister, maybe they've ministered with you as well. You know that they come from the right place, the right heart, and you ask them, you say, let's pray together. And when you seek that other person out, pray in Holy Ghost. I find that that's both such a powerful way to pray. I mean, you, tongues does move mountains. And you will get revelation as well through that time. And the other person may also that you're praying with to confer. You know, it's fine to confer with each other and to say, look, this is what's happened. Have you ever had an experience like that? Let's pray. Or you pray about the person, you get revelation. Then you can take that back to that person, the revelation, and you can minister to them from that place. Okay, so that's a good way to approach it. And as you learn, as you go, you're going to actually have that anyway. It's going to happen in you. So you'll be praying for them. They're saying, oh, it's not happening. You will start to feel their resistance. You will start to feel the resistance of the enemy. When I was in Asia, the resistance was so strong. There's a lot of strange stuff there. Anyway, the resistance was so strong. I could feel as I was praying for the person, the resistance coming back at me of that thing that didn't want to leave. Okay, not the individual's resistance. And I learned it in Chinese at this point, I found that I would just say, right now, right now, right now. And it was sensei. So I would go sensei because I kept hearing them. They would be interpreting everything I said. So I would hear the person interpreting saying sensei. And I went, oh, that must be right now. So I would say sensei. You know, it's like that thing had to go. And it would bow. Okay, and that was, but again, that was in a one-on-one in-person scenario, which is very different than online ministry. There are some similarities. I mean, you're still dealing with an enemy that's pretending he's not defeated. Okay, that's still the case. But you're not, you know, don't have hands-on. So your voice and what you say and your words are going to be the medium through which Holy Spirit moves. Okay. And it'll be amazing. Sometimes you'll realize that by saying a particular thing, because he's given it to you to say, that's what moves the situation, or that's what moves the disease out, or that's what moves something in them. So your words are vital, but don't get hung up on them. Okay? He will tell you what to say. You don't have to figure it out beforehand. It is a live ministry. You're doing it live. Okay? That's what makes it so unique. Because a lot of ministries and prayer ministries or healing ministries are, you know, an email or a letter or whatever. Well, email nowadays. And there's nothing wrong with that. Emails are incredibly powerful. You know, I've had people healed through opening the email. So it's not like Holy Spirit can't address the situation through that. He's not limited. He has no issues. You know, sometimes we dream people and they got healed. So, you know, we're not worried about the method at all or the medium. But what I'm saying, if you're doing this online, live, it's very different. A person is alive with you, you're alive, and Holy Spirit's alive. So it's a living ministry, which makes it very exciting. And you learn so much from that. Because if you're just doing a prayer, and I mean, like I said, there is nothing wrong with an email prayer and for someone receiving healing that way. And sometimes that's the only way they can receive it because they don't have Skype or they don't have access to chat or anything like that. So you're going to just email them, and that's fine too. You know, as long as you're praying with, you know, through Holy Spirit and you're letting him lead, they still can get healed. We're not worried about, you know, whether it's a typed thing or not. But what I am saying, what's exciting about online ministry is it's live. It's like, you know, like live TV. You know how it's more exciting because you don't know what's going to happen? It's like that. You know, it's not pre-recorded. We don't use method. This is not a pre-recording. It's not, okay, this is what I did last time. I'm going to do this. Okay, I did number one, number four, number three. Oh, I missed number two. No, we don't do that. Okay, you don't need to do that. There might be some very basic characteristics of the healing approach that you use, and it'll change over time. You know, it'll change over time. Just like when, if you go out in person, you might, you know, start with a particular way of doing it just because you might be a bit nervous. That's okay to have that as a backup. You know, I say this first because that, you know, I know that I'm addressing that. But we don't want to get stuck there. That's only as a temporary kind of crutch. Okay? We want Holy Spirit to be our crutch. Because he's the one who has all the answers. And he knows how to do it. And he's the doer of the word. He's the one who does the word. You know, I agree with him. And then he does the word. That's my part, is to agree. Okay? And so I think that addresses that other issue. So someone's asked about, you know, a healing. Someone got healed, and then a week later, they look, quote unquote, unhealed. Okay, that does happen. Now, that doesn't mean the healing wasn't real. But it does mean this, just like when the seed is, you know, when it says the word is planted, you know, it's thrown on rocky soil, it's thrown with the thorns and the bushes, it's thrown and the birds of the air eat it. That healing is like a word, okay, the word of truth that came to that person. Now, it's not your job to maintain it. That's what they have to do, because they're the person in that body. You know, they have to maintain it. What I did initially when I started online ministry was I would tell the person after I prayed that I don't do this anymore because it doesn't seem to happen as often. People don't seem to, quote unquote, lose their healings. It's not really losing your healing. You know, it's got stolen. Okay. That doesn't happen so much anymore. In fact, I never tell people this anymore. But at the beginning, you might say this. Okay, they've gotten healed. Then you tell them how to maintain. And it's all it is James 4:7. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. And how they submit to God is they agree that healing has occurred. Thank you that I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. No, you cannot come back. Okay, that's how they resist, really. They submit to him by acknowledging that this has happened. And that the stripes of Jesus were enough. And then they resist the devil by going, you are not coming back. Now, that's with an adult. It's a bit more difficult with a child. The situation that's been addressed is a child. It's a bit more difficult with a child because the parents are going to have to be the one that do the resisting for that child. Usually the child isn't going to be able to. I mean, unless they're a certain age. You know, if they're 8 or 9 or 10 or 11, they can do it. But if they're younger, it's going to be difficult for them to resist, you know, unless they're very switched on spiritually. Okay. And we can't expect that of them. That's a bit of too much pressure. So you tell the person, you know, you get them to acknowledge that they've been healed. This is how I did it at the beginning. I don't even do this anymore. So I'm just telling you, if you start this on a regular basis, you may need to do this. They acknowledge, you find out that they're totally healed. All the pain's gone. Great. And then they contact you 2 days later and go, it's back. Okay, this used to happen to me a lot at the beginning. I don't have that anymore. Okay, but it did happen. It did happen then. So what you can say, because you're growing too. See, it's not just they, you know, it got stolen. It's stuff happening in you as well. You're growing in knowing that this is real. Okay, I used to warn after I realized people were calling me back a few days later. I'm going, this is crazy. What, you know, what is happening? That they were healed. They were 100% healed. They said so. They could do things they couldn't do before. What is going on? I found that, you know, when I gave them that, how I guess you would put it, a form of maintenance, that nope, you don't. You submit to God. The stripes were enough. You resist the devil. Nope, you can't come back. And he will flee. And they did find that they could maintain it. I found that people were maintaining it. For instance, I had a man and he had all kinds of excruciating pain in his shoulder and his hip and diabetes as well. And he was 100% healed. Now, the diabetes, we had to, you know, it took some time for us to figure that out because of, you know, levels of blood sugar and everything. But the other two, the pain issues were gone. The next day, he emailed me and said, it's back. And I'm like, uh-uh. Now, the first time I prayed with him, it took 30 minutes to get rid of it. The second time, 30 seconds. Okay? Because it had already been moved. The resistance had been broken. Okay? So you might find something like that happens. Do not be discouraged. Don't believe it, first of all. If they come back to you and say, oh, well, it's back, blah, 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 whatever is back, you explain to them, the devil doesn't want to give up and he's stubborn. But we don't care because we're more stubborn. And Jesus' stripes already did this. Okay, you give them encouragement and show them how to resist him. Okay, is that sufficient in explaining it?
Oh yes, that was very good.
Okay, great.
That was very good.
Okay, that's the way I would do it. And as I said, as you go on, as you progress, and as your relationship with Holy Spirit develops, because when I first started, my relationship with Holy Spirit really wasn't in a place where I would refer to him all the time. I prayed in tongues a lot, so obviously I was referring to him. Okay, and he would show me things in the spirit all the time as I prayed in tongues about the person. But I wasn't, you know, I didn't know him as a person. You all do. And you're going to have a very different experience with this. Okay, you may not even have to do some of those things that I had to do. Okay, I never now tell them, I don't prepare them that they might get it stolen. I don't speak like that. I just assume that they're healed. It's done. It's a done deal.
Yeah.
And I don't have anybody come back to me and say it's back. It just doesn't happen anymore because I think I've developed in faith in him. But at the beginning, it was constant, and it was quite, you know, debilitating for me until I learned that they, you know, I could teach them how to resist. And then they had it. Then it was theirs. You know, they owned it. But I don't like doing it that way anymore. I don't even have to because Holy Spirit's at the helm. So it's completely different. But until he's at the helm, that kind of thing happens. That's what I would say. And now I'm not saying it, you know, the enemy doesn't come in and look for a vulnerable spot to attack, because I might have an attack of a, you know, I used to have a back injury, and he'll come on every once in a while. You know, the enemy will come on and try to, you know, reinstigate that pain. And I will just go, no, in Jesus' name, you're not going there. But sometimes that doesn't work. Okay, we've had people that, you know, resisted, and it didn't happen. And I think, I know, Gwen, you had this situation where, you know, you did all the quote-unquote things I'm supposed to do. I commanded, I bound, I resisted, and nothing happened until she just yielded to Holy Spirit. So it's better to yield to him at the beginning, okay? And although we have a part in this and we're, you know, we're directing in some ways, it looks like we're directing it. Because, and this is where it can get tricky, because we can start to think it's us, and oh, did I say it right? And we depend on ourselves. Did I get the right words? Did I, you know, no, forget it. It's the Spirit in you that gets it right. And if a word is important, he'll let you know. Say this, or he'll give you a vision, so you speak that vision out to them. Because what'll happen is you'll start flowing more and more in gifts. Okay, it just happens. Because you're using, you're applying yourself in that way. You're allowing Holy Spirit to flow through you. Well, look at the kind, you know, the nine gifts. That's something he allows us to have, and he flows through us with those gifts. You'll just find yourself, partly if you ask, you can ask him, you know, that, well, in these situations, Lord, I really need word of knowledge. I'm just not getting there. You know, please, I want that gift. Thank you in Jesus' name, whatever. And then let him give it to you as you go. You know, you don't stress about it. And he'll show you. And he, you know, he gives the gifts as he wills. But one thing about Holy Spirit that I, you know, I love so many things about Holy Spirit, but what, this is another thing I love about Holy Spirit, is my desiring the gift moves his will. Especially if my desire is from the right motivation, not because, you know, I want to look good and everybody goes, wow, look at how she ministers, or look at her gifts. Not like that. But because, Holy Spirit, I can't help these people, I'm not getting helped. I need, you know, the gift of prophecy, or I need the gift of healing, or I need the gift of faith, or whatever it is that you're asking for. He loves that, and he will give it to you. It doesn't always happen instantly, though, so don't be discouraged and think that he's not responding, okay? Yeah, it's an amazing thing to impart what you've learned from the Spirit of the Living God. It's an amazing experience. And that's what he's doing right now. And I, because he's just pouring out, sharing with you through not just my experience, but through his very presence. Not just how to heal. Okay, we're going to do this and it's a technique. It isn't a technique. It isn't a method. It's the living God. And you never know what's going to happen from one day to the next or one person to the next.
Yeah.
And you do one thing with somebody, one person, and with somebody else, something else happens that you're like, whoa, I've never done that. Wow. Okay. I guess they needed that. And you'll develop. And sometimes there will be a pattern, you know, like suddenly prophecy became very big. It started happening through me all the time. And I thought, okay. But then when it wasn't needed, it doesn't happen. You know, we don't make it on tap like this. You know, God's not on tap. He freely flows, but it's out of honoring him. He's not a thing, and he's not a power, and he's not a machine. He's a living God, you know, that lives in us. I mean, I always think that if that doesn't make somebody excited, I don't think there's an excited bone in your body then. The living God lives in me. What? That's how it is. And you get to experience more of the living God as you minister to others in a way than you never would experience in your life. Because he's so interested in them. He cares so much, and he cares so much about you, and he wants you, your heart, to be fused with his, where you're actually experiencing that oneness with him. And this is an opportunity for us to do it. Like, this is not just about healing, guys. People reduce it to healing, and they miss 90% of what he's actually doing. Because Jesus didn't come just to heal the sick. He came to reconcile man to God. And he does it while you minister. That reconciliation is coming alive in you. You get to experience it, you know, face to face and personal. And that's why it's such a wonderful thing to do. It isn't so we can be, you know, looked upon and, wow, look at how many results they have, or, you know, anything like that. I'm totally against that. I did that. It is a slave. You become a slave to it. It masters you. And so don't go there at all. Do not worry about results. That's Holy Spirit's job. He's the one who heals, and he's the doer of the word. You just yield. Your job is to yield to him. Ask him questions, learn, let him be the teacher. That's your job. You know, and let your heart be transformed for people. Yeah, and he'll do it. I mean, it happens.
Just ask the questions.
This is all about learning to live in fullness in him. So it's not about us having a method and having, you know, getting little notches in our belt and showing everybody, showing off and saying, look how many people I healed today. If that's what it becomes, guess what? Lord, Lord, look what I prophesied over someone. Look, I did many mighty works in your name. I never knew you. That is not the kind of relationship we want with God, because it's about relationship. All of this is about relationship. That's the bottom line. Why do you want to heal? And I really think, you know, all of you that are here anyway, I might write it as a question for the rest of the people that are signed up for it but aren't here today, is really ask him, ask Holy Spirit, what is this about for you, Holy Spirit, doing this, doing online ministry? And he will say, undoubtedly, you know, he may one or two of you, he might not say this, but I would suspect that he would say, what is it about? What is it about for you? And then you can tell him and compare notes, really, because he wants it to be not, he doesn't want it to be what in some circles it's become, which is a self-promotion technique. That's not what this is about. It's about the heart of the Father, the power of Holy Spirit, and the blood of Jesus. You know, real simple stuff, you know, real basic. You know, but that's what transforms us, isn't it? I mean, how unimaginable is it that we just say yes to Jesus, we receive him, we yield to him, and suddenly the living God lives in us? I mean, that's pretty amazing. That's unimaginable. And no wonder people think it's too good. Okay. And that no matter what we do, how foolish we may be, the mistakes we make, sometimes disobeying on purpose, all of that, his grace pours forth. Anyway, that is amazing. You know, and we don't lose our place in his heart. Can't take that back because he already sent Jesus. It's too late, you know, and Father's not like that. Okay. So the greatest focus, I think, is his heart and yielding to Holy Spirit about it in terms of what we're doing here and why we're doing it. But I want you each to find that out for yourself with him, because, you know, he's going to talk to you personally. It's like he's spoken to me. Yep, that's probably true, Aaron. I'm not recording this because I don't want to, you know, mention some of these other things, but that's true. I mean, that same thing got me started too, but it became a chain around my neck. And it does slow down. Do you know why it slows down? Because it's very self-oriented. And it can even become metaphysics. Yeah. It can become metaphysics. I've seen it. Let's see how I say this. I was very much into the New Age before I was a Christian, okay? A lot of that method is very similar. Okay? And it can become metaphysics, and it's about you controlling circumstances, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very dangerous, actually. I'm just going to be straight with you. I'm not putting this online, but it's very dangerous. Okay? And a lot of people got taken in by it. And I've had a lot of people come to me that had to get out from under it because they were breaking inside and being very oppressed. Okay? And total condemnation, constant condemnation for not doing it. It's just insane. It's basically denying Jesus Christ came in the flesh, because if you got to do that to prove you're a believer, then obviously what he did on the cross just wasn't enough. You know, that's the...
Yeah, it gets very stressful.
It's horrible.
You start, you have to do this stuff, and you start feeling like, and it becomes like a need instead of
yes.
a want from
yes.
the Father.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it's good because it gets you out at first, and it's like, oh, we can do this, and you see results, and it's like, great. But then I started realizing how cold I could be towards some,
yes.
like, people.
Yes.
And God just started really revealing to me the difference, and just that it's not about the healing for the people, but it really is about being touched by the Father.
Yeah.
And
I should have recorded
this. It's been like a learning process.
Yeah. Look, I'm gonna put in a synopsis what you just said without mentioning. We can't mention other ministries, but and I wouldn't do that. But I'm just gonna put a synopsis in that the technique, you know, the overemphasis on technique and method and how it can become very dry. Okay, so I'm gonna say that because people do need to hear that. As offensive as it might be to some, it's really important. I mean, the Father. I cannot tell you how grieved the Holy Spirit is over this. I cannot even begin to tell you. You know, I've cried over this through him.
It brings a lot of condemnation on to you because you feel like it's about you and that it's about how you do it or
yeah.
your message. It might be wrong, and so they're not getting healed. And so you don't want to blame them, but you start then blaming yourself, and it's like, God, I need more of you. And he's already there. We already have all of him, and it's just learning to walk with him
yes.
instead of to do it with ourselves.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's the same online. I've heard some friends, you know, not even 3 months ago. Like, I've been slowly getting revelation. God's revealed a lot to me. It's been like a dump pretty much. But, you know, just from that method.
What you said is just really honest, you know, and so true. And what we don't want to do is fall into that trap of making this about us. And then if it's about us, we're easily subject to or vulnerable to condemnation. And that is not why Jesus said, you know what, that scripture that said, these are the signs that will follow those who believe, they'll lay hands on the sick. They'll speak in different tongues and all of that. Okay. He wasn't saying it like, you better get that job done. He was saying, I'm telling you what's going to happen. Like prophetic. He was telling them, when you go out, because you haven't been out yet, this is what's going to happen. And nothing by any means shall hurt you. He was telling them in that way. It was like a coaching session. You know, like the pep talk from the coach. Okay, guys, we're going to go out in the field, and this is going to happen, and da-da-da, this is our game plan, blah, blah, blah. It was more like that. It wasn't a setup so that, well, they failed. Because if we're going to say, just because Jesus got angry with them, when that boy, you know, the boy who, with the epileptic fit, yeah, and that means that, you know, he's angry with us every time, quote-unquote, we fail. Well, again, we're stressing it about us. And what he was angry about, truly, was the fact that they depended on themselves, not him. They didn't have faith in him, because it's faith in him that gets the job done, not faith in me. Because you can do this through metaphysics. You can do this through New Age methods. This can work to a degree and for a time, but you see how it fizzles out. And it will fizzle out. It fizzles out because if it's not based on him, there's no living waters. It's just a swamp or a dam.
Yeah.
We want the living waters. He's the one who's doing all of this. And if I'm following him because I want to make sure that I'm really a believer and these signs have to follow me, then I've got it all backwards. Then the cross means nothing. See, we've got to get back to that. It was finished. We are free. We are one with him. He did redeem us. And if that's true, there's no proving anymore. We've got to honor it. You know, Jesus Christ came in the flesh. That's what we're saying. And anything that tells you that you have to do this in order to make sure you're really a believer is not confessing that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. It's denying it. So in this, it's the same issue with online ministry. We do not want this to be chalking up a score. And someone comes to me and they have, you know, some horrendous cancer and they don't get healed immediately. Oh, what did I do wrong? And I obviously don't have enough faith. And no, that is not the approach at all. The approach is Holy Spirit. What's happening? What's going on that this is not happening? Because I know Jesus paid for this. So if there's something that's going on, I used to do this. I don't do it anymore, but I used to often, if I saw there was resistance, I would say, I bind any resistance, any hindrance to this healing in Jesus' name. And often, this very often was in person too, I would see, you know, like the leg grow out or the person's pain go or whatever, because there was resistance somewhere, whether it was in them or whether it was the thing wanting to resist. Okay. Sometimes they have, they have something hidden in their hearts that they're not going to tell you because they're embarrassed about it. Obviously, that's why it's hidden. Holy Spirit will see it, and he'll address it, and you will learn how to do it with such delicacy that they won't feel condemned at all. It'll just be removed. I had a situation where someone, the healing was taking forever, and it's like, oh, this is ridiculous. You know, the pain wouldn't go. And Holy Spirit revealed this sin of this person. And I'm thinking, well, I can't tell them that. But you know what he did? And rather than that, he didn't say, tell them that they did such and such in, you know, 1995. It wasn't like that. He addressed the guilt. I bound the spirit of guilt, broke it. They got healed. He'll do things like that for you. Okay. So we'll learn how to, he didn't tell me, now, Jesse, I want you to say, cause he's so fluid. It just comes out of your mouth. He didn't say, don't tell them about the sin, but tell them about the guilt. He didn't. It just came out of my mouth. I bind the spirit of guilt. Like, he showed me the picture. I went to work on it, said the thing. That was gone. He freed them, and they had no more pain. Okay? So, again, we want to honor, give honor where honor is due. You know, Holy Spirit is a person. He's been given to us to reveal all truth, to teach us all things. Well, we might as well ask him about healing because that's part of all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wants to tell us. He wants to teach. And who's going to know better than us? He's been to every healing, you know? So I think he's going to know what to do. But we're not just doing it like, oh, he just flows through me like a machine. No. It's like I'm going to interact with him. I have conversations. This guy, Holy Spirit, what the heck's going on here? I don't get this. Is this a block? Is it something that I'm having trouble? Am I tired? I found that when I'm tired, forget it. It just doesn't happen. Those people, it's like he just does not flow through me that same way. And when I asked him about it one day, because I was really cross with him, I went, oh, who cares how I'm feeling? You're power. Go do it. You've got an attitude. And he said, I care how you're feeling. We're one. So how you feel affects how I flow. Isn't that amazing? You know? And I went, oh, that's so sweet. And I actually felt loved by that. You mean I'm that valued that how I feel affects how you flow? Whoa, well, I better feel good. You know, I better make sure I feel good because I don't want to ruin this.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's how much.
Oh, I love it.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah. I'm telling you, this session tonight is just has opened up more about healing for me. Answered a lot of questions, and I just want to cry because I sense his presence right now.
Hallelujah. He's happy for you to cry. He's got his arms around you anyway. He's putting his hand under your chin, like lifting your chin up, like, I know, girl, I know. I know you wanted to know this.
It's so awesome.
Yeah. He's so kind, yeah. We just have to let him be kind, you know, instead of trying to control him. See, this is what all this ministry, whether you're doing it in person or online, but I mean, we're specifically addressing online, it's not about method. It's not about a teaching. It's not about any of that. You know, it's personal. It's very personal. And what you're going to impart to people is it's personal between him and them too. He wants them to have that as well. That's what you're going to find you're doing. You're going to be helping people have a full relationship with God. Now that's exciting. That's what this turns into. It doesn't turn into a healing session. Just about, oh yeah, well here's my stats. I did, 98% today. I did 75% yesterday. Oh, a bit off. You know, it's not like that. You know, if it becomes percentages and stats, we've lost the plot, as they say in Australia. We really have. You're just not operating the way you're meant to operate. You know.